Blog Talk Radio.
You can. Now listen. This God, he said he created us in his image after his likeness. David, the psalmist, comes back and says, ye are all God's children of the Most High God. See, and the thing that brings you into your godly powers is this thing called faith. Now, you know, I looked at this thing with Cain and Abel, you know, and I was kind of disturbed a little, because it appears that God needed a man to till the ground, and he gets Adam, and Adam messes up, of course, but he gets Cain and Abel, and Cain is the elder. And then God asked them to present something to him. And Cain says, well, yeah, he works the ground. Well, that's what God wanted, somebody to till the ground. And he brings a gift to God from his work on the ground. Abel, the younger brother, brings a gift of a lamb. He didn't do the work. The ram did. But Cain worked the earth. Anybody from the south? Y'all know. Ain't nobody have to tell you. You know that farming is hard work. That's why you ran away from the south. Didn't even keep the land that your grandmama and grandpapa willed to you. You let it go. Because farming, especially when you farming for somebody else, that's rough stuff. So I'd rather let the ram do the work. You know what I'm saying? And he brings a lamb to God. And God, the book said, didn't accept what Cain brought from the ground, but he accepted what Abel brought of a lamb. Now Cain is upset. What do you want from me, God? You needed somebody to till the ground. I'm here. I till the ground. I sweat, hard sweat. Got up early in the morning, went to bed late at night, and I brought you the best that I could produce. And you don't accept this, but you accept that. I'm mad as you know what. So the God looks at Cain and he says, now he's talking to the boy. It's a wonderful thing to have God talk to you. But let me tell you something. He talks to us too. We don't listen well, but he does communicate with his creatures. Now watch this. Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you angry? Sin lieth at the door. The boy should have said, well, look, God, yeah, my countenance fell. I'm angry. But I'm angry because I work hard as you know what, and I brought this thing to you, and you rejected me? See, if he had asked a question, he would have got an answer. I'm not rejecting you, Cain. I favor you because you brought me something from hard work and sweat. But the reason I accepted a lamb was because at the end of the world that came into being from your father's rebellion, I'm going to choose me a lamb that will bring in a brand new world. But you see, Cain couldn't see that far, and he didn't have sense enough to question God. So he relied on his own what?
Understanding.
He leaned on his own understanding, kept his anger, and then went out and killed his brother. He didn't have faith in the God that gave him life and gave him a word. Now, all that we read that happened in Genesis is informing us of when Jesus comes into the world, what is going to be required for Jesus to bring about a brand new world. See, this is not his world, because you didn't make it his. Oh, I shouldn't say you. I should say we. We still waiting on Jesus to make the world better. But he put you here. He put me here. He put us here. What are you crying about? You don't like the world? You don't like what the world has done to you? Fine. You're going to do about it? You mean I can do something about it? Let's see. In the Quran, belief and faith are considered light, L-I-G-H-T, and unbelief is considered darkness. So when you have your problems, and God is going to help you have some problems, and then you're going to help yourself creating problems. And the problems that God permits and we create often brings darkness into our lives, darkness in our homes, darkness in our business. So when darkness comes, you can't move. You have to wait for light. So if the light of faith is burning in your heart, I don't care how dark it gets, you can always see your way through if you got faith. Now what? Now, see, times are getting rough. I mean, $4.50 for a gallon of gas, and you see, see, I chose Life Center Church, but I live, and I can't. I better. The weather turned crazy. But that's God. Flooding out the corn crop. So food now is higher. The feed, the corn feed that they feed the lambs, the cows, the steer, the hogs. Sorry. It's gone up now. So if you're buying a piece of meat, you're going to pay more for it. You're buying a piece of fish, you're going to pay more for it. You're buying a tomato, you're buying just vegetables that yesterday you took for granted.
All right.
Gone up. Some of you are blessed with land around your home, but you won't plant anything. It's hard work tilling the ground. But you know what? If you planted something in your backyard, you would get more from it than the finest supermarket. Do you know why? Because what's fresh from the ground is full of life. And it gives life to you. But by the time it comes from California and other places and even out of the country, they had to fix it to make it look nice. Fix it. It looks so appealing to your eyes, but the stomach. This is why we have high blood pressure, diabetes.
We'll be on air. Okay, peace. Peace to all my people. You know, the descendants of slaves born in America. Today, as always, you know, I have a very special presentation, you know, for our people to enjoy. And we have a special guest. We have multiple people that are going to be brought on the platform. You know, my good brother Talik Ibn Ra from the Realities Temple on Earth Internet Ministry and, you know, Operation Exodus Mississippi, as well as we have, yes, you know, a new brother, you know, Brother Daniel, who is a former member of the Nation of Islam, you know, under Farrakhanism. So if you look at, you know, what this video is entitled, Why I Left the NOI underneath the leadership of, you know, Minister Farrakhan, I have a brother today, Brother Daniel, that is going to come forth and provide his testimony of what he went through, you know, being in the Nation of Islam, and as far as like what compelled him and to, you know, make the decision to leave the nation. So I want to bring my, you know, my good brother Daniel to the center stage, and I would like to turn over the microphone to my good brother Daniel. Brother Daniel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You want me to start now?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, I came to the Nation of Islam in Philadelphia, Muhammad's Mosque, or Muhammad's Temple number 12, but they call it Muhammad's Mosque, at, you know, under Farrakhan. I came in 87. The minister, the acting minister, he really wasn't a minister, was Brother Clement. The captain was Jeffrey. He had a lieutenant named Dave, we used to call him Daoud. Brother John, Brother Earl, you know, brothers like that. And the secretary was Brother Gilbert, but Farrakhan named him Amin. And during that administration, some of the brothers was involved in corruption. They were selling, you know, Farrakhan came and closed the temple down for a year because they was involved in some type of corruption. If you want me to, you know, corruption was they were selling dope. Okay, this I'm keeping it real. They were selling dope. And then Farrakhan reopened the mosque in 88. And I came back, tried to soldier. Then I started reading the books because we used to read the study guides. And I used to read the study guides. I wasn't reading the books. So I started reading Message to the Black Man, all the books that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Mr. Muhammad had. And I came to find out that Farrakhan was not teaching what Elijah Muhammad was teaching, that he was putting his own spin on things. So I left off those premises. You know, as I grew and developed, and I went with another group called the Council of Elders. You know, I went with Minister Jeremiah Shabazz, my minister, in 1991. And I started working with him and all that stuff. And he passed away in 1998. But I tried to hang on. I hanged on to like 2011. And I started seeing discrepancies with that. First, Elijah Muhammad, Mr. Muhammad, taught that Jesus went to El Azhar in Egypt. But I did some research on El Azhar. El Azhar wasn't even around when Muhammad was around, you know, for 1,400 years ago. That happened, that university came about through the Arabs invading Egypt. Okay? And then I found out that Jesus, none of the prophets and the scriptures, Quran or Bible, didn't exist. It's a myth. So I left the nation completely out of that when I found out all that stuff was not true. It's truth mixed up with falsehood. Then they had me believing that Malcolm was a hypocrite. Then I found out that they did Malcolm dirty. And
yeah.
They was jealous of Malcolm.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed.
You know, yes, sir. And I left for a lot of reasons. Then I seen that Farrakhan was not gilding anything. And
uh-huh.
He turned into a personality cult. That's what
right.
It is. And, you know, I used to ask the minister, when he reopened the mosque, the minister was Abdul Karim Muhammad, the one that was at the Duba Bar when they witnessed Malcolm X's assassination. He was there temporary. Then Farrakhan then the brothers from D.C. brought a minister named Minister Anthony Muhammad. He was my minister for a little minute. I asked the question. I said, brother, why are we raising all this money and we ain't building no businesses and no institutions here? He told me out of his mouth that we have to send it all to Chicago.
Hmm.
And I felt, I didn't feel right about that. And then another thing, I met Farrakhan. He came to reopen the mosque. I shook his hand. And I didn't feel that he was genuine. To me, he seemed like he was plastic. And that's my experience. I can't tell them to speak for other people. But, you can read a person's spirit or their vibe. To me, he had a plastic spirit. It wasn't genuine. That's just my experience. I've seen it as a personality, money-making cult. That's what I've seen it as.
Yes, sir.
You know, I they're not going anywhere. I go to Philadelphia. I live in Jersey right now, but I go to Philadelphia a lot. And they still in the same building, don't own the building or nothing, that I came in 1987. They had made no progress. They haven't got nothing going for themselves. In fact, about it, they're about to get evicted from that building as we speak right now.
Yes, indeed.
Yep. You know what I mean? Farrakhan had these million man marches. What came out of it? We ain't got nothing. What do we own? What institutions been built? All I see, he's lying in his proxy. He rides around $2,000 tailor-made suits. You know what I'm saying? He rides around in different types of expensive cars while the nation, so-called NY, has nothing.
Right.
And he built the Nation of Islam on his personality, not on the people. So when he dies, then NY going to die. So-called NY. Because the NY died with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in my personal opinion. It died with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, indeed. Good brother, man. I appreciate this. Man, I would like to, ask you a question. You know,
yes, sir.
I mean, with you having the experience, you know, you being up in the ranking files, you know, of the Nation of Islam, you actually living that life. What would you suggest to, you know, the youth that are looking, you know, towards the Nation of Islam and Farrakhan, you know, thinking about joining?
Well, the thing I would tell them is they got to study and do their own research. Don't believe stuff on face value. Don't believe whatever they tell you. Do your own research. And then you won't get caught up in that.
Yes,
indeed. They'll tell you in a mid-heartbeat that Malcolm was a hypocrite. And they'll tell you this, too. This is another thing I found out was a lie. They said Elijah Muhammad had these wives.
Mm.
But see, they got a Muhammad Speaks on microfilm in Philadelphia at the library. And this is another thing that shook me up, because it was a minister named Isaiah Kareem who wrote in the Muhammad Speaks that them women were prostitutes. So if they was his wives, why was they allowed to call them prostitutes in the Muhammad Speaks? And then sisters was excommunicated from the nation.
That's a lie.
So if they was his wives, why did they get excommunicated, number one? And number two, why was they called prostitutes? And the minister, my minister, Minister Jeremiah, I remember when I first had contact with Minister Jeremiah in 1990 and 1991, I was 21 years old at the time, and I came regurgitating that same crack that Farrakhan told me about them wives, and Minister Jeremiah told me that he didn't have those, they weren't his wives. Okay, he told me that Sister Claire Muhammad was his only wife.
That's right.
Then I asked him, is it true that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had other children? He told me yes. So, you know, it was discrepancies. It was a bunch of discrepancies. So they'll make you think that Malcolm was slandering Elijah Muhammad. That was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
They attacked Malcolm first. Malcolm was trying to be quiet about the whole situation.
Right.
So they made tips on his life. During his 90 days of suspension, they was trying to kill him.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, bro. Man.
Brother Daniel, what would you say to people that would listen to what you're talking about and just basically like call you a disgruntled employee? Are you a disgruntled employee?
No, sir. I'm not a disgruntled employee. When I was on the Falcon, the brothers treated me decent. I didn't have no problems with the brothers on the Falcon. They treated me all right. I'm not disgruntled. I just did my own research about it. The Falcon was not teaching what Elijah Muhammad was teaching, number one. Number two,
right.
Then I found out Elijah Muhammad was the stuff was not right. I'm not disgruntled at all.
Wow. So do.
Go ahead, brother. I just want to make.
So
sure
do you hate Louis Farrakhan?
No, I don't hate Minister Louis Farrakhan. I understand. I'm gonna tell you why. I don't like what he's doing. I don't like what he's doing, but I don't hate him. And the reason why I don't hate him because I understand his circumstance. Because when Farrakhan came in, he had a promising career in show business. Right? Anybody know that history?
Yeah.
He had a promising career in show business, and the NY told him that he couldn't do that. And that's the way he was feeding his family. They told him he had to quit show business. You know, Mr. Farrakhan would have stayed in the show business. He could have been another Harry Belafonte.
It's possible.
No, I don't know. He has the talent. The man has
the
talent. He can act and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he put away that stuff and joined the NY. And then when the NY, when the Wallace E. Muhammad disbanded the NY, Farrakhan was dependent on the NY to take care of him financially. That was his only source of income. So when Wallace E. Muhammad took that bridge away from him, he tried to go back to acting and show business, but the stuff he was good at was outdated. So he decided to rebuild the so-called NY so he could take care of himself financially. So that's the situation, the dilemma that he was faced with. So I don't judge him on that because I don't know anybody being in his shoes. I don't know what they would do if they was in that situation.
Uh-huh.
Because Farrakhan was doing bad, brother. You know about it. You witnessed it. He was doing horrible when the nation like when the NY got disbanded. He wasn't doing that good economically.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I think that's the real reason why Farrakhan and the other guy.
But Chris Man, they both were doing bad financially. Because I know for a fact because I was affiliated with the council elders. Council elders are people are ministers who was under Elijah Muhammad, who was named and trained by Elijah Muhammad. And they told me they was with Farrakhan when he so-called was building the work. And they said that, you know, he was doing bad, horrible. Matter of fact, one of them was named John Muhammad. John Muhammad said, because John Muhammad had a job at the railroad. I think he worked for the railroad or something. And he used to take his paycheck and give Farrakhan money to help him out financially.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was doing bad. He was doing bad. Trust me, he was doing horrible. He was struggling.
Yeah, I told these people, you know, when I joined in 81, I was with Minister Farrakhan when he basically didn't have a pot to piss in.
He didn't have a pot to piss in.
And he didn't, you know. I was with Minister Farrakhan when the crowds wasn't 30,000. You know, I was with Minister Farrakhan when the crowd might have been 20 people or 30 people.
Yes, sir. And then another thing I don't like and that he's doing, he got the people involved in Scientology, another cult. He's doing that.
Yeah.
He got to stop messing them brothers' minds, brother. I mean, he got to stop it. He need to come clean and say, brother, look, I was doing bad. I had to do what I had to do. And tell him the truth.
Yes, sir.
You got to stop misleading our people. I don't like that. I don't hate them, but I understand the circumstance. It's nothing personal. It's business. I have nothing personal against him. I met him a couple of times. I don't hate him. You know what I mean? I don't like when you talk about Malcolm real bad.
Right, right.
And Malcolm helped him out. He was doing bad when he came in the Nation of Islam.
So what's your thoughts on that whole situation, brothers? And man, I mean, this goes to you, the good brother Daniel, and the good brother Talib. As far as like mm-hmm. the whole Malcolm X situation.
Well, the NY, they messed up, man. They made a bad mistake by doing Malcolm the way they did. Malcolm was the most loyal follower that Honorable Elijah Muhammad ever had, okay? He was the most loyal follower, the most that was pushing the program more than any other minister in the NY, and people were jealous of him for that, especially Elijah Muhammad's family, okay? Yeah. They were jealous of him. So they couldn't do the work that he was doing. Proof of the pudding is, what his family members are doing now, the ones that are still alive. Even when, way after Malcolm X got killed, they built, after Elijah Muhammad passed away, what have they done? Who have they built?
That's right.
Malcolm started the Muhammad Speaks in his basement.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Malcolm was not just a talker, he was a doer. He swept the ranks of the Nation of Islam. He was responsible for that.
Yeah.
He made Elijah Muhammad. Okay, that's a fact. Elijah Muhammad might have taught him the teachings, but Malcolm made Elijah Muhammad known.
That's right. That's
before, just the people ain't know nothing about no Elijah Muhammad.
What would you say to these people when they said Malcolm became a snitch? When when they start attacking Malcolm, and you know he went to Mike Wallace, you know, to the Caucasian.
I know what I got to say about that. First of all, the NY became snitches on Malcolm, but they conspired with the government to get killed to kill him.
Huh.
That ain't snitching. What is snitching?
Huh.
Okay. And first of all, Malcolm, the FBI came to Malcolm's house and they offered him to pay him money and everything. Malcolm would not sell out. Okay.
Right.
That's on tape. That's documented.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And the FBI is the one that put it in the paper that Elijah Muhammad had some children in the first place, not Malcolm. So that was already out anyway. So how was he a snitch? It was already out.
Right.
And the only reason why he came out like that because they were making the chips on his life. They were trying to kill him. On one occasion, Charles Kenyatta saved his life. They were trying to take him to a slaughterhouse and kill him. But lucky Charles Kenyatta had a pistol on him and made the guy get out of the car.
Yes, sir.
Then Captain Joseph tried to get somebody to wire his car. So it could explode. This is during his 90-day suspicion. They don't talk about that, though.
But the people, man, who try to praise the Nation of Islam, try to praise...
And I'm going to tell you something else. Farrakhan's brother was one of the conspirators that bombed his house, Alvin Farrakhan.
Okay, oh, brother, man. Ooh, this really touches my soul right here. Okay, what I would have to ask you, my good brother, and I already know my answer, but... When we talk about these people, man, we know the bomb thrown through the nursery of Brother Malcolm's house that could have landed and killed
his children.
His daughters, his beautiful little black daughters, okay?
Yes.
Knowing all of this, what the hell should happen to these people? I'm talking about, let's get down to the get down right here. Is Minister Farrakhan responsible in any way, shape, or form?
Yes, he is responsible. Because he put in the Muhammad speech that that man was worthy of death.
Yeah.
He's responsible. Then he came to the North March when the assassins came out that day.
So
and some of the people that was on the assassination team, I don't care. Abdul Karim, his name was Limwar X. Farrakhan renamed him Abdul Karim Muhammad.
So Farrakhan is a man worthy of death.
And Captain Clarence, who tried to get a silencer to kill Malcolm, Farrakhan renamed that man Jabba Muhammad. Okay? Them guys was with Farrakhan until Karim left before, but Jabba Muhammad stayed with Farrakhan until he died. All of them guys is part of the assassination team. And Farrakhan know who killed Malcolm. He knows for a fact who killed him. Because he was there when they made the plan. I know he was there.
So Farrakhan,
he can sit there and deny say the government did and all that crap. He can say all that crap all he wants to. But the fact of the matter is the guys that killed him, they was members of the NOI.
Wow. Wow. So with that being said, Farrakhan is a man worthy of death himself. He needs his guy.
Yes, sir. Well, he's suffering right now, brother. Suffering right now. He got prostate cancer. He suffered with it. See, we got this mistaken that if you're alive, you're doing good. That because you're alive don't mean you're doing good. Okay? Uh-huh. That don't mean you're doing right. Okay? Malcolm may have passed away, but Malcolm is at peace. Malcolm is not suffering. Okay, Farrakhan is suffering and living. I'd rather be dead and not suffering than to be living and suffering.
Yes, sir.
So he's suffering, brother. Trust me, that man is suffering.
He's going to pay. He's going.
Yeah, he's paying right now, brother, for misleading people and his involvement in Malcolm's assassination. He can talk all that crap the government did all he wants to. Talk about he didn't hold no position of power. You was a minister in Boston, nigga. Get the hell out of here.
Wow, man. This is the truth that you barely hear. Wow. Can't believe this. I mean, wow. I can't believe it.
If you look at the interview when Malcolm's daughter, it was, Mike Wallace brought them together, Farrakhan and Wallace. I mean, Farrakhan and Malcolm's daughter. If you notice, Farrakhan had a guilt look on his face. He looked guilty. When she confronted Farrakhan, you could see the guilt on his face. Then you're going to say, he was a traitor, and we had the right to punish him. He said they punished him. He admitted that.
Right.
I mean, one minute he says the government did it, then another breath he says they punished him. Okay,
right.
Which one is it? Did the government did it, or you had involvement in the assassination? I believe they conspired with the government because they were there to kill him without impunity. Okay, and the government know that they killed Malcolm. They know who killed him, and some of them guys are still walking the streets. With impunity.
Yes, sir. I can't believe this, man. I'm having difficulty coming to grips with hearing this because, man, if any member of the Nation of Islam, past or present, including Farrakhan, including the so-called Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the only reason I say that because, man, if he's guilty of the murder of Brother Malcolm, man, these people need to rot in hell. They need to. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, they was upset with Malcolm. You know what I mean? They was jealous of Malcolm. Them guys were jealous of him. They wanted Farrakhan wanted Malcolm's place.
Right.
Okay. He wanted his place. See, but the problem is, be careful what you ask for. Did you know when he took over as national representative that he did not have the same power that Malcolm had when he was national representative? When he was national representative, they put him really in a straitjacket. He had no control. He had no power. He just spoke on the radio and just represented Elijah Muhammad like that, but he had no power. He didn't even run the temple in New York. Okay, when Malcolm was in New York, he ran the temple. Okay, and he ran other temples. Farrakhan didn't have that type of power. Because Elijah Muhammad didn't trust him like that. That's what a lot of people don't know. Because I got a hand, so I know people that was there. Mr. Jeremiah told me to deal about that situation. He did not trust him. He, matter of fact, he didn't even have no power over Minister Jeremiah. Mr. Jeremiah had more power than him.
Man. Wow.
And Mr. Jeremiah was also a national representative of Elijah Muhammad. He just didn't speak on the radio.
What should we do at this point, man? Knowing that black people still support the Nation of Islam, still support Farrakhan, you know, knowing all of this, man, but deep down, you know, in the back, you know.
And then I'm going to tell you another thing. Farrakhan was telling people to follow the stricter laws, and Farrakhan had women outside his marriage, too.
Yeah, right.
Okay? He got children in Mexico all over the place. Brother Lance Shabazz exposed that. And look how he did Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Dr. Khalid Muhammad was lawyer to Farrakhan.
How could black people still follow behind this damn charlatan?
Brother, because we under a lot of our people are under, you know, if you know the, if you're in a cult, right, You're under mind control, okay? When you are under influence of a cult, you're under mind control, okay? You don't question nothing. You don't use your common sense and none of that stuff. You just hear and obey.
Right.
Okay, I was there at one point.
Man, oh, man. It's really
hard. Farrakhan has mastered the art of persuasion. Okay, he knows how to play on people, emotions, and everything, because he's very charismatic and charming.
Mm-hmm.
So he uses that to manipulate people's minds.
How could our people, man, accept child murder? Like, when we talk about a bomb being thrown up in the nursery of Brother Malcolm's house, man, that's child murder.
Yeah, it's child attempted murder.
Okay,
and Farrakhan's brother was involved. Alvin Farrakhan was involved in pushing me. He was one of the brothers that was conspirator. Okay?
Man. Hey, Brother Tyleek, please continue. Please, yeah. I cannot continue. I mean,
and y'all need to interview Omar Shabazz if he allow y'all to interview him, because he comes out with a lot of stuff.
He's very good.
He got the documented proof.
Right.
And evidence.
I'm going to try to get Brother Omar. I'm going to try to get him. But, you know,
he opened my eyes to a lot of things that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
But sometimes, a lot of stuff I was aware of. You know what I'm saying? But some things I wasn't.
Brother Tyleek, man, please share some type of clarity to this, man, because I'm at the point of no return right now, because, like, what I don't understand and what I don't get is how can people, man, claim to fight for black people, but you honor somebody responsible.
Oh, and then another thing, I'm going to tell you another thing I wrote in my left the NY, brother.
Yes, sir.
If you notice in the NY, they'll tell you at the same breath that they got their ancestors from Africa, right?
Yes, sir.
But in the same breath, you can't, every name that the people in the NY got, none of those are African names.
Mm-hmm.
They're the Turkish Arab names or Persian names. Did you know the name Shabazz is Persian?
Wow. I didn't
That's
know
not
that.
African. It's Persian. It means royal fly falcon.
Yes,
and Farrakhan, a lot of people in India and Pakistan wear that name.
Mm-hmm. Farrakhan.
And the word Bey, Azim Elijah Hammond named a minister named Lucius Bayak. Bayak is Turkish.
Yes, sir.
And he never, if you look at the Savior's Day, 74 Savior's Day, he invites these people from Turkey. How come he invites no people from Africa?
Wow.
And then another thing, Elijah Muhammad said that we couldn't wear African clothes. The Africans were savages.
Yeah, what page number in the Message of Black Man you talking about?
That was Fall of America, page 150.
150, Fall of America.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? So he had like an anti-African message.
Well, I mean, basically, the Nation of Islam is exactly what it is. It's to convert you to a religion.
Yeah, it's to convert you to a religion. That's it.
You know, it's not. You know, they use the black struggle to promote this religion. They want you to be an Arab wannabe.
Yeah, and we not Arabs. The fact about it, that's another reason why I left Islam. Because I did some research, the Arabs enslaved our ancestors.
Yeah, they don't talk about that, though.
And then they'll tell you this. They'll say, well, a lot of Africans are Muslims. You know why a lot of Africans are Muslims? The reason why a lot of Africans was Muslims, because during the time when the Arabs came into Africa, West Africa, all them places, they said, look, if you don't accept Islam, you're going to be a slave, or you're going to get killed. So a lot of them got Islam by force.
Right.
Because Africa had their own spiritual system, older than Islam.
Right. They became Muslims the same way we became Christians.
Yeah, you traded in one slave master for another slave master.
Right, that's all.
And the Arabs to this day practice slavery. You go to Mauritania. They involved in the slave trade in Mauritania.
Yes,
Libya, they're enslaving black Africans.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And I got an author with the Mecca. I'm not gonna give her a name. But she told me the Arabs was trying to get her over there in Mecca. Luckily she spoke some English. They said, oh, she's not one of them. She's from America. Okay, I'm not going to mention my aunt's name. I'm not going to put it out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
Them Arabs are slave nations. They got surahs in the Quran that condone slavery.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's an anti-woman book.
Yeah.
Because they got a surah in the Quran that says the hell will be filled with women.
Ooh, God.
And then another thing that the Quran teaches. If a woman is wrong, she got to have more witnesses than a man when a man is wrong. Is that freedom, justice, inequality?
No.
That's inequality. So that book needs to be thrown in the garbage pail. It's an anti-African, anti-woman book. All them books need to be thrown in the garbage pail. The Quran and the Bible, all that crap.
Brother Daniel, what do you say to people when they tell you, well, you know, everything is not perfect. The Nation of Islam has saved a lot of people's lives and made things better and whatever. You know, how could you talk the way you do, brother, and you know that the Nation of Islam has turned a lot of people's lives around, including Brother Malcolm. What would you say to somebody that would ask you something like that? Why
well,
so,
what I would say to that, what I would say to that, Jim Jones got people say got people off of drugs and all that stuff. Father Devine did the same thing. All the cult leaders can make that claim. Dr. York can make that claim.
Right.
Even Hitler did some good.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, if you notice, all cults got the same pattern. They do good and they do bad. That's a fact.
Yeah.
So they all can make that claim. The Christian church can make that claim.
Sure can. But that's how you get sucked in because of the good.
Yeah. Because
that's
of the
how
good.
You get sucked
they,
in.
They talk about the good, but they don't talk about the dark side of the cult.
But there's always a catch 22.
Yes, right. Yeah, because Jim Jones can make the people that it was people that was on drugs from Jim Jones, and Jeff Jones got them off the drugs.
Sure did.
But he also took people to Guyana to drink that Kool-Aid.
Oh yes, sir.
Sure did. don't drink the Kool-Aid.
And you know the NOI lined themselves with Jim Jones at one time. You know that, right?
Don't get into that. Don't bring Farrakhan past up now.
Farrakhan was in line with Jim Jones. In fact, about Jim Jones, when Jim Jones had a fallout with Wallace E. Muhammad, E-Man Wallace E. Muhammad, it's on tape. He endorsed Farrakhan.
Wow.
Yeah. I found that hilarious, preposterous. And then I found that Farrakhan's been saying for years that the government is after him. But my question to that is, if the government's after you, how come on Aquila Shabazz, Malcolm X's daughter, put a contract on you? The government saved your damn life.
Huh.
Does that make any sense?
Uh-oh. Bringing up too much logic, bro.
That don't make no sense at all. You got to live to be 84 years old. Anybody in the government is after, they don't get to live that old.
Hmm.
They either got to go in exile or they get killed.
So
or they get in prison.
Man, so what do you think it's all about? Because I'm looking up something right now saying Louis Farrakhan is worth $3 million. Jesse Jackson is worth $10 million.
Farrakhan is worth more than $3 million. That's not even right.
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay,
sir.
I know this personally because yes, I used to go to when I went to Chicago, it's a group called The Crow, Coalition for the Remembrance of Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
When that brother first started that group, we all went to – I went to a council elders meeting, so we went to his building. And he told, because he's personal friends with Farrakhan, his brother. He's tight with Farrakhan. And this was in the 90s. He told us back then that Farrakhan was worth $40 million.
Woo.
Mm.
Okay. That was in the 90s. He was worth $40
million. Whoa.
So he's worth more than $3 million. Trust me, he is.
Whoa. But I mean, man, what does that say about black leadership, man? I'm inaccurate.
We don't have no black leadership, brother. All we got is opportunist sellout leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Our leaders got killed. The real black leaders are dead or in prison.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Martin Luther King got killed. They can talk about Martin Luther King being a sellout. He was a sellout. How come he got killed?
Yep, that's right. I agree.
Malcolm got killed. Malcolm and Martin got killed in their 30s.
I concur.
Marcus Garvey got deported.
Yes, sir.
Any real, Mecca Evers got killed.
Yeah.
The Black Panther Party, a lot of them are in jail or dead.
That's right.
They got assassinated. So they crept in the Deacons of the Fifth. You know what I mean? You had a lot of groups. The Rams, a lot of them guys had to go in exile and got killed. Anybody that was for real trying to help our people got deported or they got killed. So so how was he Farrakhan got to live to be 84 years old? Nothing happened to him. Probably you never got into a parking ticket.
Well,
they're not thinking about Farrakhan. And Farrakhan is tight with Jesse Jackson. Those are the feather flock together.
Yes, sir.
Both of them are still alive. Got to live to be old. Hmm. Their mentors got killed. Malcolm was not Farrakhan's mentor. He's dead. Martin Luther King was Jesse Jackson's mentor. He's dead.
Mm-hmm. They got a lot in common too. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they got a lot in common.
Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson got a lot of common. Yeah.
And the King family didn't trust Jesse Jackson. Did you know Jesse Jackson, when Martin Luther King got killed in that balcony, Jesse Jackson took the blood off of Martin Luther King and put it in his shirt and lied and said that Martin Luther King died in his arms?
That's suspicious.
Them guys are not our leaders, brother.
Boy, oh boy. Brother Maurice. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Maurice. Hold fast, brothers and sisters. We're having a little technical difficulties. Hold fast. We have a little technical difficulties, brothers and sisters. Please bear with us. Hold fast, beloved brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, when you hear someone that mixes truth with falsehood and put lies on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and saying what reason why he left the Nation of Islam, to use everything from excuse, from excuse, from excuse. Let's go back into a little history when he said that Jeremiah Shabazz had more power than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. First of all, Jeremiah Shabazz was installed as the minister in Philadelphia in 1964 after Imam Walter Dane. Second, during Savior's Day 1975, Imam Walter Dane introduced Jeremiah Shabazz as the national spokesman instead of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And third, you want to tell These lies signed Minister Abdul Karim into the assassination of Malcolm X and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as the part of the assassination committee. First of all, if Minister Farrakhan was the minister in Newark, for that Sunday, and Minister James Shabazz was the interim minister of Mosque number 7. That doesn't have anything to do with Malcolm. First of all, he was in turn of doing the teaching in Newark during that time. Minister James Shabazz was the interim minister till they find a permanent minister. And first of all, you know, when you say you're not a disgruntled member, that's a lie. You're a disgruntled member, fool, telling all these lies, truth with mixed with falsehood. You sound like a fool, and you feeding other fools on this so-called interview that you done, the garbage that you spreading against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our leader, teaching guide, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and you want to say that Malcolm started Muhammad Speaks. First of all, Malcolm started Mr. Muhammad Speaks. He did a few columns, but basically, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stopped Muhammad Speaks in 62, he dropped the mister and called it Muhammad Speaks. And where did you bring these lies out, Mr. Negro? You're alive. So therefore, you just trying to poison the ones who are striving to looking for truth. And second, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the nation will fall, but it'll rise and never fall again. So, where you the one is lying and you're a hypocrite, talking against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan like this. Hold fast, brothers and sisters.
So therefore, brothers and sisters, this man who was the guest of this so-called interview, he just spreading truth mixed with falsehood. He's spreading lies. That's all he's doing. He's not dealing on actual facts. Just mixing plain truth with falsehood. So I'm like, So I'm like, Brother Derek,
this is weird.